the land, as you're going to see as this unfolds today, you'll see that this property dictated what the golf course was going to be, and it needed to be big.
Almost 1,200 yards and two holes, back to back.
That's large.
Course spread funk eats up two holes in 1,200 yards.
Put another log on the fire. Nobody here is getting tired.
Welcome to the Fire Pit with Matt Ginella.
Ed C. was a golf course architect responsible for almost 300 designs and renovations, most of which were in partnership with Arnold Palmer, who C. started working with in 1972. Courses like Tralee and the K Club in Ireland, Aviara in Carlsbad, The Tradition in La Quinta, Sawgrass Country Club in Pontevedra Beach, and Bay Hill in Orlando are a few of his most notable projects. Ed C., a past president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects, died in 2007 at the age of 69. I've worked with his son, Mason C., on several stories during my 8 years at the Golf Channel, where Mason often freelanced as a producer on projects such as the story on Gil Hance building the Olympic course in Rio. Mason and I share a love and passion for golf course architects and architecture and the stories behind the designs. Mason will be a regular contributor to the Fire Pit Collective, and he starts with the story on Raindance National in Windsor, Colorado, a Fred Funk and Harrison Minshew design. Funk is the winner of 8 PGA Tour events, including the 2005 Players' Championship, and has won 9 times on the Champions Tour. This is his first opportunity to design and build his own course. Minshew worked with Ed C. and Arnold Palmer until he broke out on his own in 2008. The course they're building is for Martin Lind, a successful developer in northern Colorado. I met up with all of the above earlier this year to tour the land, walk the course as it was being finished, and to record this podcast on how it all came together. But before we get to that story, I just want to thank our friends at LinkSoul for their support of the Fire Pit. John Ashworth and Jeff Cunningham have created so much more than just a lifestyle brand that I live in both on and off the golf course. LinkSoul is a lifestyle that permeates out of Goat Hill Park, where they've helped cultivate a course, a culture, and a community vibe that's become a blueprint for what's possible at a municipality. For a 25% discount on your next purchase at LinkSoul.com, use promo code FIREPIT25. And now, sitting around a fire pit with Funk, Minshew, and Lind overlooking what they've created, this is the story of Raindance National.
At some point in your life, you acquired this property and there was thought that there would be golf here? Or?
Right. So as a kid, we would come up here and trespass and sled up and down on the hills. And then my dad, who's 90 years old, and God bless him, he's still alive, tells stories of how he had to walk these arroyas from Windsor back to his house. So it's been part of property we've known, but we never owned it until the maybe 2002. But it really didn't have a purpose because it's not really a place where you could graze cattle. It's pretty steep, and it has this kind of a mystique about it where it's arid and dry and crisp in the dry years, and then it's like this in the wet years, and it's just magnificent. And trying to figure out what to do with it. So when we got it acquired, I always felt that we should preserve it. Because anytime you see homes on a hill, because we're land developers and we put homes on property, but we try to be unique. But when you see homes on a hill, it kind of scars the hill. It doesn't look good. So we wanted to preserve it and thought about putting a golf course on it. And we're really just in the conceptual stages of it when I met Fred.
And how'd that happen?
So luckily I was going broke fast.
If you're going to go broke fast.
Don't. It's a painful, cancerous thing. You just want to go fast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was 08, 09, and I was going broke so fast, and you couldn't borrow a dime.
You had company.
Right,
you know,
right.
There was a couple people.
Yeah, and I was, one of my best friends from high school was a chief pilot. We had a flight department. We had to sell the jets, because you can't get forbearance agreements from banks when you have jets and boats. So we were throwing everything off the Queen Mary, trying to keep it floating, And so Craig, my pilot, said, hey, I asked him to try to find somebody that would trade a jet for land, because I couldn't borrow anything on land, But at the time, you could borrow on a jet. So I was just trying to survive. And he said, I've got this guy has a black Lear, and the N numbers are Foxtrot, Foxtrot. So he goes, he might want to trade. Well, it ends up being Fred Funk. And the only thing worse than having land development going broke in the late 2008-09 would be trying to go hang onto a jet and go from the regular tour to the champion tour.
True.
So,
Fred?
The horse has changed.
Yes, exactly. So now we call it the two dead dogs for a dead cat trade. So we were just trying to get rid of stuff that didn't work for us. And about 2 hours into this tour, Fred flew up to meet with me. And about 2 hours into it, he really didn't see anything I had that was very attractive to him. And it just wasn't going to work.
I could have had a Perkins pancake.
Yeah, you could have had a Perkins.
I really missed out.
Yeah, but then you would have had
in hindsight.
You would have had all the good PGA Tour players over there hitting
That's
on
true.
The waitresses.
Well, Tiger would have been there.
You'd have had his attention.
Tiger would have definitely been there.
Hey, you're mic'd up, Fred. So we're just having kind of a hoot, kind of like this. And I'd only known Fred an hour, and we're driving around. And I said, Fred, have you ever designed a course? And he goes, oh, God, it's on my bucket list. I would love to do that. But that's a pedigree that I'm never going to be there. And that's kind of gone. And at this time, golf courses were starting to not be developed anymore. And so we drove up here about half a mile over there. And I said, Fred, look at this. This would be a great golf course. And he goes, oh, man, this would be fun. So it wasn't 6 months. And he had gone back and called me and said, my next-door neighbor Harrison's been with Palmer, and they're not building anymore, so I want to bring them out. And it was just a hoot. And they just boom, boom, boom. And then, of course, the recession.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
Because I'm going to go back now and get. So Fred, how do you remember this story where you're coming in, you're trading a plane? What?
Yeah, we had a Lear 31 that we were trying to get rid of. And I just wasn't making the money. Couldn't justify the cost of that thing, the annual cost of that thing. So came out here to see what he had to offer, and we're driving around everything. I could have had residential land, I could have had industrial land, I could have had a Perkins pancake house. I really don't want to, I really need money, I need cash. And then he drives up on the hill, it was actually right up top here, and you could see down this and not really see the arroyas the way you see them from the bottom, but I could see there was something. And out of nowhere, he says, hey, Fred, I want you to design your first signature Fred Funk golf course. I go, what? I said, we just met like 2.5 hours ago. He said, yeah, but you know, whatever. And I'm thinking he's blowing smoke. And
well, in 2.5 hours, that was only like a 12 pack into the deal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So then we go.
Were you serious? I mean, were you just messing around?
No, I'm dead serious because within 2 hours of being with Fred, is about all you need to know about him.
You just
got this magnetic fun about him. And I said, and that's kind of what I like to have, is a lot of fun in life. And I said, Fred, do this golf course, just do it.
Yeah, and we went down to his office and he broke out the topo map and it said Rain Dance on the top. And I said, what is that? He said, that's the land that we were just on. And I go, no kidding. I said, well, that's the name of the golf course if we ever do this. And sure enough, it is. And I'm not that familiar at that time in my life of reading topos, but I could see there were some big elevation changes in these erosion ditches. And I said, we got to go back and look at it from the bottom. And we did. And that's when you could see it, all that from looking up into it. I went, that's unbelievable. And at the time, I didn't think, can you really build a golf course on it? But I went and walked the land. I went home. I came back soon after and I walked the land and I said, this is unbelievable. And then I went back home again to Ponte Vedra, and I showed Harrison the topo map, and he just studied it for about 10 minutes, dead silent, and he's never quiet either. And he just looks up and he goes, this is really magnificent.
What did he really say?
And he said, this is fucking awesome. edit. So he said, so we flew out and he saw it and we started working on a routing, and it kind of, really the front nine routed itself once we decided where we were going to start.
Hold on 1 second now. So what's your recollection of, like, seriously, like, what's Fred, your relationship with Fred Funk, and then he shows you this topo map?
So Fred wins the, 205 TPC?
Yeah.
And so, you know, where our office is, like, a mile and a half from the golf course, from Sawgrass TPC and Players Club. And he interested in golf architecture, so he called the office up. And he wanted to have a, you know, come and see what we did.
That year that he won the Players?
That year that he won the Players. He won the Players, what, in March?
March of
05. And you came there like in May or mm-hmm. something. And actually, I just had a colonoscopy in the morning.
Well, that's a good memory.
Speaking of, because
you can't have fun without
because the doctor said you need to go home and lay down. Of course, I didn't do it. Fred's coming to the office. I wanted to hear what he had to say, and show him around and all that. So I did that, and then we met again through a mutual friend. And I said, Fred, I'm going out on my own. I'd love to work with you. And then about a year and a half later, he had this deal. And he said, Harrison, he called me up. He called Gary Verbal, our mutual friend, and said, what's Harrison's phone number again? I think I got something. So he called me up and told me about the property and said, well, get a topo and so I can see what the owner has. And Martin sent him a topo, and he came by, and he showed it to me, and I go, you've got to be kidding me, because it was obvious. I mean, that's what I do. I do topo maps. I've been doing it for, you know, 30 years. And then when I got it, I said, we got to go look at this. I said, let me do a routing and get him to stake it, and let's go take a look at it. And we came out here, and I just go, Fred, this is unbelievable. And then, so we're chomping at the bit for my friggin' decade.
Right.
And Martin kept saying, I'll do it when it's the right time. It's a timing thing.
And this is all based on sort of where the property, the real estate stuff is going in the market.
Some of it was economy, some of it was lending ability, some of it was my own portfolio. We had to get a lot of stuff finished up that was just a mess. So we had to get that done.
And Fred and I are chomping at the bit, and we said, is he really going to do this?
I think there was 3 years where they thought it was just not a freaking prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
And then,
but you'd been here a bunch, you had done a routing, you'd walked the land,
and
you were waiting.
It. Yeah, and then...
Numerous times.
Martin gets the oil companies to come and locate some drill sites. And there was a drill site on number one, and that obviously went away, but they moved it over where the original driving range was. And then he had another company and whatever, and obviously they helped fund the golf course. And so Martin said, well, they're going to put this big pipeline through the golf course. You might want to do the grading plan for the back nine. And I said, sure, of course. I mean, I wanted to do something. Mm-hmm. And we did that, and they built it, and then we waited some more. And, you know, and then I knew they were doing the development because, I saw the land plans and all the you know, the marketing and their concepts and that sort of thing. I said, that's cool. And so we kept going. And then Fred and I said, is he really going to do it, Fred? Because we were just so anxious. And, you know, the whole market was just nothing there. And so we came out here last August, and we, you know, he had to do, he was grading these first four holes, and they had to do, put some grass on the ground and whatever, and then I got Randall Pecan here, and we had to, you know, we wanted to do part of it, and then, so I kind of talked him into doing it. I said, you know, we could probably do it without irrigation, and then Jeff Orr, the superintendent, said, well, we better irrigate it, and then I said, we can put some permanent irrigation in. And then the HDP pipe was, you know, all time low.
Golden eagle flying right down that draw right there right now. See him?
Oh yeah.
Wow. Look at him. Yep. He's got about a 7 foot wingspan. Uh-huh.
So anyway, finally it was Martin pulled the trigger, and it's been friggin' balls to the wall ever since. And
literally.
I mean, literally.
Wait, let's go!
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
no.
What he said would happen.
It was like, wait, hurry. Uh-huh. And, you know.
And Martin always said when he starts, we're going to have it to finish. We're not going to just start and not finish this thing. So when he pulled the trigger, the bullet was out and it kept on going and we never stopped. So.
Well, and that last fall when Randall and Harrison got together and gave me the preliminary budget, I said, okay, let's go, let's do it. And then I got their first change order and I haven't needed a colonoscopy since.
You didn't ever say that. Now, Garrett was cringing.
So obviously you guys bring, three different perspectives here. So you've got the grizzled veteran who has done and seen it all and has been waiting for this kind of opportunity for your whole life, right? I mean, this is...
Absolutely.
This is, you know... At one point in your career, you were working with a firm that had 70 courses on the books in a year. And now you're down to sort of the idea of quality, you know, one course at a time, spending, you know, living here and running this whole project.
I mean, that's what I always wanted to do. I mean, you know, I'm from Augusta. Golf is in my DNA. And obviously there's a good golf course there, or a couple of them anyway, or maybe more. But there's one that's on TV a lot. And, you know, I thought all golf tournaments were like that until I went out someplace else to see another golf course and I got another golf tournament. But I was just kind of force-fed, and that was just the industry back then. And I always wanted to do this. And Martin said yes. And I go, wow. And I said, and so for me to be here every day made it possible for Randall to have a sign off so he can go to the next step, next step, next step. And from a creative standpoint, working with somebody that really knows how to build a golf course and really, really great shapers, to go through the process like that and to be on site is just the most exhilarating creative thing that a golf architect can do.
Dream come true for you.
Yes.
And meanwhile, for you, this was a bucket list scenario. I, you've been watching and looking and playing all these golf courses. There's been a lot of players that have gone on to do golf course architecture. This obviously was of interest to you. This is a dream come true for you too.
Absolutely. I never thought I'd have this opportunity, but to actually have input on a piece of land like this is incredible. To have my first project, hopefully not my last, and I don't think it will be after we get on the map on this golf course, but this is, it's so much fun. I had no idea how much fun it is. And I gotta say that a lot of that is the team and the attitude and the personalities that are all involved with this project, starting with Martin. Martin has created this whole area, all the people that work for Martin, all the people that live in his communities. It seems to be a super high energy, a lot of love of the land, the love of family, love of things to do. And Martin has created this. And when you go down to Pelican Lakes, which will be the sister golf course of this, that's been here since 97. And the attitudes and the energy down at that golf course is incredible. It's already there. And everybody's super excited about what this is going to be and have this in their backyard as well. But the team that we brought in, Harrison and I are working together awesome. This whole project of going from the initial stages, the three of us have walked this property I don't know how many times together, and we've all had all the different inputs, no egos. It's all about, this would be great. This doesn't work. It doesn't really matter. We just have done things, changed things. Everybody's had a lot of input, and that's been great. And then we have Randall and Rocky are in here. The shapers are, I've never seen shapers do what they do with super heavy equipment and be that meticulous and that exacting with the dirt that they move with these awesome machines. And what this thing has turned into. So it's been not only a dream come true, but something that's way beyond I ever thought how much fun it would be to do. And every time I come out here, I can't wait to get out here, and I love being out here. It's changed dramatically every single time I've come out here. And it's amazing. It's gonna be very, very special.
What is it about your vision and your energy and your passion that is about not just building homes? You're obviously building communities. You're building this culture. You're building, you know, a playground. You know, what is at the base of your vision?
So, I didn't grow up golfing. I never held a club until I was 30. So, and my game pretty much reflects that now, right? I'm a terrible golfer. So,
well, you won the men's thing the other night, the playoff.
I can't afford to lose. Second place is first loser, Harrison. You know that deal. I'm quite a competitor too. But you know, family, lifestyle, having a place where people can live, work, and play all without getting back in their car. That's super important. So that's what we did at Water Valley. We manifested it up here in the Rain Dance. We've got about 4,000 acres now that, by the grace of God, we just kept acquiring. When we were doing good back in the early 2000s, I didn't go buy Ferraris. I put a deposit on the next farm. And we just kept, we have this thing going, and we have families that are immersed about golf. And if you go down to Pelican Lakes right now, there's thousands of kids on that golf course. And so we wanted to have something up here that would make sure the families are really respected and that the golf was fun and fair, and you can't get anybody more fun or fair than Fred, right? And I thought the same of Harrison and Randall until I got that first change order. And then, I'm just kidding. So that, but the kind of the thing you'll find about our golf courses that's very unique is, and it helps us with what we're doing when Fred said this is fun, is there's no civil engineering down there. We don't have to, every time we make a change, we can just let the land dictate the change. We don't have to worry about a street next to it, a sewer line that's in the way, because there's not a single home on this golf course. There's kind of a moat around it up on holes 1, 2, and 3 where there are homes. There's only 60 lots on the entire golf course, but yet there's 2,800 lots in Rain Dance. So it gives us the latitude to, when the land says, hey, do this. I mean, we've had a green down there that we lowered 15 feet. It was a lot of dirt. I think we lowered about 15 feet. Mm-hmm. We've flipped par threes left to right, right to left. And we don't have to ask anybody but ourselves to honor the land. And it's been a really fun experience. And it really has been. The carving, the moving the dirt's the fun stage for me. That's the fun part, because that's when you really make the permanence in the deal. You can change grass, you can change sprinkler heads, but once you move the dirt, it's there. And it's just been a riot building this thing.
8,400 yards is a number that I heard at one point. What's the goal? What's your ambition to have people that obviously live, work, and play mm-hmm. here be out here? But what's your ultimate dream?
So obviously Fred's been on the tour long enough to where he knows, of course, all of the things that it takes to make a course tour quality. But the new pedigree of golfers, like his son Taylor, are hitting it 100 yards further. And so it isn't just as easy as stretching a tee box back somewhere into the woods. That's not how it works. It has to have fairway length. It has to have all of these other things. And we were up about 8,100 yards, I think. And I don't know what happened, but I was on the internet looking at the top 10 longest golf courses in the world. And I go, well, there's free marketing. Let's hit at least number 9. Right, so what do we got to add? And we had to add about 80 yards, I think, at the time. I said, surely you can find 80 yards. And then it just started playing out. And it was fun because Fred was insecure about that. You were like, hey, listen, that's not what I'm about. I'm about having the greatest golf course. But our team.
Yeah, you do know you hired Fred Funk.
Right. But what a. Right.
On the PGA Tour.
Fred had like 8,400 yards. I mean, right. You know, Fred can play for 3 days and not right. make 8,400
right.
yards.
Right.
Harrison said, I'm a little bitter about these long hitters. Uh-huh. That's okay.
You're a bitter little man.
Yeah, I'm going to pay them back.
The good news is you're at elevation, and they're right. going to run hard and fast and downhill, mm-hmm. downwind, right?
Right.
Right. Actually, it was going to play, honestly, too short at 8,100. The way we're going to have it with the fescue, fast British-style fairways with the downhill with elevation. And an example, I always looked at our fourth and fifth holes are now – on the card at the longest length are 580, 590 par fours. And I was thinking that these guys at that length, Rory McIlroy would hit an 8 or a 9 iron into those holes under normal conditions, under calm conditions. And that's just the length we needed. if we didn't have that length and back the tees up on those two holes, they would probably not have to hit a driver to hit a wedge in, because they're going to get 400 plus drives on some of these downhill holes. So we were trying to protect that and at the same time not ruin the holes by going that length. And also, it's only for the best of the best. If we ever have a tournament here, we have the length to test those guys. Now that we have four other sets of tees, and the women's tees are all the way up to what, Harrison?
They're probably 5,000 yards at elevation, which is, you know, it might even be a little bit shorter, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's going to be long for somebody. Yeah. I mean, it really would be. I mean, for a kid or for a woman or a senior or whatever. I mean,
you want to have an event here?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of the vision.
I don't think there's any reason in the world that would stop us from having an event here. I can't think of one.
It's in the Denver metro market. I mean, they traditionally have had huge events here, like the U.S. Open.
So, Matt, this is crazy, but we're sitting out in a fire pit, and you literally cannot see a house from where we're sitting. You can see one a couple miles down in the valley down there, but you might as well be in the middle of a prairie in the middle of Nebraska, right? But there's 1 million people live within 35 minutes of right here. So even though we're in the donut hole of calmness and serenity right here, there's 1 million people that live within a 30-minute drive. There's no question that we can't get the sponsorship to bring a major here. There's no question. And if we have to, we'll just have Fred fund it.
We're talking about getting a Champions Tour event here as early as 23, maybe 24 if we have to go that late. But
do you know you can't spell fun without fund?
Yeah, it's true. You can't. But
without fun.
I would personally like to see the Colorado Golf Association, if you're out there listening. This would be a great venue for the Colorado Open, for having an annual event. And I think it would be fantastic. You set the course up properly and allow them to have a good tournament. But still the number one goal, and I said this earlier with you during the day, that I want the guys, the men and women that come and play this golf course, and the families that come out, when they walk off 18, they can't wait to do it again. So just say, that was a blast, unbelievable experience. I got to do it again. And if we can create that when they walk off this golf course,
we've done the job we want.
I don't want to beat them up. The golf course is going to be difficult, but I think fair, and beautiful. So it'll be a good test for the best and fun for the average, is what my goal and dream would be, to everybody can enjoy this golf course.
Good test for the best and fun for the rest.
That's very good, very good.
It'll be an experience, and it'll be a fun experience. And you know, you could play a golf course and be fun and want to come back. But to experience the whole place is really, really going to be special.
Well, I think the consumer now is spoiled in the sense that, you know, golf, you know, we have a lot of options in the world of golf now. They're happening all over the place. So if you can have unique and quality experience, then that's going to get people wanting to come back. So,
but this is not only going to be a golf course; it's growing into a much bigger entity than just golf. And
we're gonna lean our companies out of land development into resort development, and we're gonna have a lot of corporate retreating and overnight stay. We're doing a lot of hospitality and rain dance and down in Water Valley right now. But it's also a kid's hill over where the driving range was going to be. We're always going to combine it with snowmaking in the winter, and we've tested it, and it works. And so we're going to have bunny hills and, you know, learn to ski, learn to snowboard, all that stuff over there. We're going to have an alpine slide in the summer. We've got about 250 feet of vertical fall, amphitheaters. So it's going to be an activity. We feel that 8 acres over on the other side of the clubhouse where the driving range was going to be is going to be an anthill, summer, winter. It's going to be always busy. So it's going to be quite a place.
I think, obviously, the trend has become, it even at places like Pinehurst or Bandon Dunes, is to, diversify the portfolio of what's being offered. So it's not just like, oh, here's 18-hole championship golf. You're obviously doing a lot of different things here. Right. This truly is the development of something more than golf. This is a community and something for everyone, including the idea of a horse course.
Right. We ended up with this just amazing triangle between 1, 2, and 9. And we were trying to think what to do with it. And some of us had gone up to Nebraska and played the horse course at what's the name of that place?
Prairie Club.
That's right. Yep. And it's just a hoot. You know, you finish 18, you grab a few beers, you go out there with your wedge and your putter, and you just play a little over there. And it's just a hoot. But for having the ability to not be pushed into 9 holes or 18 holes, but to just come enjoy the property and just go pitch and putt and drink a pop, drink a beer, drink a water, and just have that time to learn, to have our pros teaching a lot of kids. They could teach 100 kids out there at the same time. That's how big it is. And so bringing that kind of stuff, when you have a resort event and you go out there and you make a contest out of it, they'll have more fun doing that contest than they will play in the 18-hole tournament they played that day. So we're just really excited about that. We need to come up with a name on it yet. And then we were talking about the vistas earlier. We actually had the architects for the clubhouse and all the resort we're doing on the hill. And I've never in my life done this, but you always raise the land to get a better view. So where's the finished floor of that building, or where's the second floor of that house to get that better view? And we're actually lowering the land and lowering the footprint on the convention center, because by lowering it about 3 feet where the topography of the horse course and hole number 2 is, you won't see a house. All you see is the mountains. So by changing the angle, and it was kind of odd, because you never, you know, in Colorado, you always lift up so you can see over. And this one, we're actually going to set it down so that the artificial horizon that our golf course has created blocks any artificial structure, and all you see is Mother Nature.
Can you block the planes from flying over during an interview? Or?
That might have been Fred's jet.
It's about what it would sound like now. So.
There's that dead cat you traded for.
So that's the senior tour.
That's right? The senior tour. That's what happens when the purse is lower.
2005 Players Champion. There he goes.
Fred. Yeah, that's his buddies. The home.
What are some of the vistas that you're looking at here?
So always, since day one, even before Fred and Harrison got involved, we always thought that Long's Peak should be a signature hole. Looking at Long's Peak, it's the big 14er that everybody on the front range looks at, and we have a majestic view of it. So when we got out and Fred and Harrison lined it up, we literally put a survey stake right to the top of the peak, to the tee box, and that's where Fred and Harrison designed hole number 1. So I think those foursome selfies and all that stuff with Long's Peak in the backdrop is just going to be a incredible sales point for us. Everybody's going to want to go have their foursome taken with that picture. It's magnificent.
You obviously understand marketing, and you've mentioned it a couple of times, but this is going to kind of market itself. That's sort of what your point, right? I mean, if you build it, they will come, and they'll do the marketing for you.
You know, that's a big part of it. You know, you have to have something special in today's world. You can't be average. You can't be normal. You have to have something extraordinary, and this is extraordinary. And when people start sending, you know, posting all the social and this stuff, even this fire pit, they're going to go, what is that? And people are going to want to have weddings here, and they're going to want to have parties here. And it's just, it's kind of magnificent. And this scene that you have right here tonight will never change. There will never be any homes. There will never be a building that will be in the obstruct what we see here tonight. So it's going to promote itself, and that's another thing about that 8,400 yards. We're going to be Google, or when you Google longest course in the world, we're probably going to be number 2 if it measures where you thought it was.
But it'll be appropriate if he wants to have an event. Otherwise, it's just going to be part of the mowed grass out there. Mm-hmm. It'll be part of what's in play. Mm-hmm. But when they want to have...
How long did they play Kiwa? 79, 78?
Well, they could have, I think, 77, 70, yeah.
77 at sea level.
And that's at sea level, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
it measured 80, what did it measure, 84?
So you add 10%, and we're at 84.
What about some of the other stuff? You know, I heard glamping. What in the hell is glamping?
So glamping is a new trend. It's not real new, but it's in the last decade, and it's glamour camping. So it's the kind of camping.
You're going to be in charge of glamour camping?
No, it won't be me. It won't be me. I can promise you that. But
I mean, you lit a nice fire.
I'd be willing to bet that these guys' wives don't want to go sleep in a tent with an air mattress anymore. But it is kind of cool to go out and, like, imagine if you're here and you have an actual built-in master bath like you have at home and a Tempur-Pedic mattress, it'd be a cool place to spend the night. That's what glamping is. It's a super comfortable bed, built-in super nice amenities, but you're in a tent or you're in a covered wagon or
and you're in a Royo and the, you know.
Yep.
And you see deer.
And you have the silence that we have out here tonight. You have that silence, and maybe you have a guy with a guitar comes in, and there's families, and you know, cool. You do the s'mores and you do that stuff, and that's glamping, and it's gonna be a lot of that. And again, you're gonna be glamping, and you might as well be a million miles from anywhere, but you're right in the middle of a million people. You'll never know it.
The hope is to open
July 22.
July 22.
Mm-hmm.
Is that realistic, Harrison?
Mm-hmm.
Fred?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll get it seated out by the 1st of September at the latest. And it could be a little rough in the beginning, but who cares? You're going to go out there and play golf. The greens are going to be good. The tees will be good. You're going to bump it in the fairways anyway, so who cares?
Matt, I've got a super peacefulness about that because we've opened two other courses on a very similar schedule, and they were bluegrass, and I know what fescue grass does on this, and it's going to grow like a jungle. And so Jeff, our superintendent, is going to be out here with mowers in 2 months, and I have absolutely no anxiety about July 22. It's going to be great, and it'll be ready.
Sounds good. I want to reserve a glamping spot so I could be close to the course.
You could set an air mattress in that manure spreader right there.
That's all I've earned here today?
I've only known you for about...
Is that what you think of the interview?
I've only known you for about 6 hours, but you're as full of shit as any of these guys are.
For more on Rain Dance National, to see and read about their work in progress, go to firepitcollective.com. But before we go, I'd also like to thank our friends at PowerPoints, the revolutionary app that gives you and your crew an alternate way of scoring the game. Tee it up from wherever you want, but the further you go back, the more points you get for making par. It's especially good for beginners, family golf, or buddies trips looking for an alternate format. Download the PowerPoints app now and go make par.
Put another log on the fire. Nobody here is getting tired. Settle down and settle in. The story here's about to begin. The circle's starting to take its shape. Seats are filled and the tired sun plans its escape. And everybody's got some glory, just waiting to unfold. And everybody's got some story, just waiting to be told. The place for that is here. All those smiles and all those tears, let them go. Put another log on the fire. Nobody here is getting tired. Settle down and settle in. The story here's about to begin. Tales were told of war and gold, lovers lost in a lifetime's dreams that were sold. Maybe you should stop and listen at the wisdom in the air. Maybe you should pour your heart out, we ain't going anywhere. find your mercy in the sounds. As the smoke gets pushed around in your soul. Another log on the fire. Nobody here's getting tired. Settle down and settle in. The story here's about to begin. The story here's about to begin. The story here's about to begin.